Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Jeff Fiegels.
Hi, John.
John Schmel. Hello, Jeff. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number for you to get involved and talk some Giant football right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live for the next 60 minutes. No guests today, folks. I had a couple things in mind, but I figured JPP trade happened yesterday. It's a very big move. Let's give you guys a chance to get involved. I know you had a chance yesterday with Dottino and Lance as well. We'll start rolling out more guests starting next week leading up to the draft, breaking down the players the Giants might pick, some larger draft perspectives, and, of course, we'll do our series when we talk to guys that cover the teams of the draft prospects to get a little bit of a closer look at these guys as we move forward. But first, the Jason Pierre-Paul trade. The Giants trade JPP to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a third-round pick, and the two teams swap fours. The Giants move down six spots in the fourth round, which is really not that significant. I think that's kind of one of those little sweeteners you give the Bucs just to get the deal done. Yep. Jeff, give me your take on the deal. What do you think?
Well, I think it's good. I think that any time you can unload a contract like they did, pick up a third-round draft pick, I think I'm all for it. I know there'd be a lot of talk about the scheme from 4-3, 3-4, all that kind of stuff. I don't think that that really matters in the grand scheme of things. I think this was a total business move from a football perspective when it comes to cap, gaining some money, and doing some things like that. And not only that, the Giants can do everything they can to try to get some more picks, and they did. They got another one.
And it's Jeff, it's funny. We did not talk about this before the show, and I don't like to because I like to go into these conversations fresh so we don't know what each other's going to say. I agree 100%.
I don't think the fit
is really the reason he got moved.
No.
You can figure out a way to use him in James Betcher's system.
And I'll tell you a great reason why, and you are going to love this one. When JPP was a free agent, before he got the franchise, all of this stuff, what team was going after JPP? Do you remember that?
It was the Arizona Cardinals.
And who was the defensive coordinator?
James Betcher!
That just goes to show you that it doesn't. It's not the scheme.
No.
It's more of other things that could be happening.
And look. Yeah, absolutely. And look, we talked about it last year. We understood why they brought Jason Pierre-Paul back. You were trying to retain as many pieces from a dominant defense that went 11-5 as possible.
Healthier.
But we also talked about the risks involved in that he was a player that had inconsistent production from game to game. He would have a couple really monster games, then you wouldn't hear from him for a while. He became more of a run defender than a pass rusher.
Correct.
And, Jeff, I agree. Look, the cap savings this year are minimal. Because the way these contracts work, and again, the Giants don't divulge contract details, so I'm not going to give you numbers here, but I'll explain to you how it works. Once you sign a player like Jason Pierre-Paul and you give him a signing bonus, the team that gives him the signing bonus is responsible for that signing bonus no matter when you trade him.
Well, they already gave it to him. So.
Exactly. But that doesn't go into the cap in the first year. That signing bonus is prorated over the length of the deal. So I'm going to throw out random numbers here. Let's say the Giants gave JPP a $20 million signing bonus over 4 years.
Which I believe it was close to it.
They were charged with $5 million of that signing bonus in the first year of the deal. And there were $15 million remaining. So when you trade a player like that, rather than having a $5 million cap hit over 3 years, $5 million each year, that all gets accelerated into the year in which you dealt him, which is why the Giants' cap savings are minimal this year, but the following 2 years, when his cap number would have been close to $20 million, that's gone. So you might not reap the reward of this move this year, except, of course, the third-round pick, but then when you're trying to re-sign a guy like Landon Collins, when you're trying to re-sign a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.,
Next year, guess what?
You have a lot of cap space now the next couple of years because all that money you owe JPP gets accelerated into year number one, and all of a sudden, now you have a lot more flexibility to re-sign the guys you want to re-sign the next couple of years. And to me, Jeff, that was the big reason for the trade, future salary cap flexibility.
Business. I also believe that because it was a trade and not a cut, I think when a player, let's just say they cut JPP, flat out just cut him, I think they would be able to take that signing bonus and move it over 2 years.
Yes, they could designate him a post-June 1st cut, and then you would take half of that 15, again, the theoretical number this year and then half the following year. Right.
But because he was traded,
yes,
I think it all gets accelerated.
That's correct.
The new team has to pick up his portion of the contract.
The base salary.
Base salary.
Correct.
But the team that signed him to the original deal and gave him this bonus has to absorb the hit on that year.
And again, the Giants don't release contract details. I'm just throwing out some numbers that I saw kind of flowing around.
Yeah.
That's how it works, so you understand.
Right.
Now,
right.
And I think the fact that the Giants signed Kareem Martin also gave them some flexibility. I think we have a pretty good idea, pending what happens in the draft, of course,
all right,
what the Giants front seven is going to look like this year.
Course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at Snacks Harrison in the middle, Dalvin Tomlinson in one of the defensive end spots. I think and again, this is just the base defense, and I'll talk about the nickel situation in a second. The third defensive end in the 3-4, I think it's going to be a competition. I think Kerry Wynn will be involved, who's a good, strong, powerful defensive end who can fit a spot like that. Josh Morrow, their new addition, will be involved in that battle. And you'll take a look at some of the other guys at the bottom of the roster. I think those will be the guys involved at that base 3-4 DN competition. I think the four linebackers, quite frankly, are pretty clear. You're going to have Vernon on one end.
Yep.
You're going to have Kareem Martin at the other outside linebacker spot. And then the two guys in the middle, if he's healthy, B.J. Goodson and Alec Ogletree.
There
and I think it's pretty clear right now what that front seven is going to look like.
And I like it. I like it.
I think it's fine.
I see some speed. I see a lot of things that Jim Betcher is going to be able to do with those seven guys and mix it around. Listen, Olivier Vernon, can he put his hand in the dirt? Yes, we know that he can. But I actually think when you look at JPP and Olivier Vernon, in my opinion, I think you get – I like the upside of having Vernon opposed to having JPP. I think that JPP ran into some problems with his hand. I still think that and I just think Olivier Vernon is younger. He can play better. I like if you had to get rid of one or the other, I'm okay with what they did.
And I think Vernon's the better pass rusher at this point. I think he's probably a little bit faster, so he's probably better standing up than Jason Pierre-Paul would be. I agree with that. And then when you go to the nickel, and you have four down linemen. Vernon will put his hand in the dirt. He'll rush on one end.
That's my point.
You'll have, some combination of Kareem Martin at the other end, the Kerry Wynns of the world at the other end, the Giants draft pick last year, whose name's escaping me for the moment.
Don't remember Aquara, too.
At the other end, Romeo Aquara, another guy. So those are the guys. Avery Moss, thank you, Dan Salamone. You just put Avery in there, and I remembered immediately. He's the other guy that'll compete at that spot. And he could also, by the way, compete for some 3-4 outside linebacker snaps as well. And then your two nickel linebackers, I think, will probably be Alec Ogletree.
Yep.
And then I think the second guy, that's another job that I think is going to be up for competition. I don't know who that second linebacker is going to be. It might be B.J. Goodson. He has a shot to compete for it.
Maybe.
To compete for it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he'll win it because he doesn't have that coverage speed you're looking for. But I think that's a position that there will be some fun competition for.
Yeah, and I don't think that maybe that player is on the roster yet.
Or do they add a couple of safeties and then they make Landon Collins?
I think the Giants will add another safety at some point here.
I agree.
There's no question.
So I think there's some flexibility there for sure.
And yeah, I think that so there's a lot of rhyme to this reason. Is that it for this? What's going on with JPP and things like that? I mean, you look at Dave Gettleman; he's really manipulating this roster from the last 2.5-3 months. It's been incredible what's gone down. It really has. Lots of trades. I mean, how many times the Giants done trades? I mean, we got the Ogletree.
Well, we said this.
I mean,
we said it, Dave, when Dave Gettleman got hired, that there's going to be more trades now. He does that more than Jerry Reese ever did before.
And what I like about the trades and the players that he's acquiring is that they are high character, good. Not only are they good players, they're good locker room guys. And we've talked about this in the past.
A huge part of it.
A huge, huge part of that toxic scenario that the Giants have had in the past with that locker room.
And that's not to say JPP's a bad guy. But he's
No.
But he's also not a defensive, he's not a vocal defensive leader that – I mean, he was in the locker room last year and all the bad stuff was going on. Granted, it wasn't in his group on the defensive line, was his side of the ball.
Yeah.
So, you want to have guys that'll probably grab a little bit more of a leadership role in that way.
And bottom line, JPP, was they got a team that was going to take his contract.
Correct.
He was going to give the team a third-round draft pick.
Correct.
And they got rid of an aging 30-year-old guy with a bad hand defensive end. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I thought Gettleman got a great return. And if you would have honestly, I wasn't sure they'd be able to get a third-round pick in return for him. I wasn't sure that could happen, to be honest with you.
I believe that was the kicker. I don't think it happens unless you get that third round draft pick somehow.
I agree with you. It does not happen. But I'm not sure there was going to be a team out there that, remember, a team not only has to be willing to give the third round pick, they have to have, you know, $10 million of cap space to absorb that base salary too, which makes it even trickier.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, maybe the fourth round was the sugar on the, you know, hey, well, okay,
absolutely,
we'll give you the third, but we got to get something back for this. Okay, we'll give you, we'll move you up. How many was spaces? Was it eight?
I think it's two.
And a fourth round.
Yes. I mean, it's the second pick in the fourth round to the eighth pick in the fourth
round. I believe that when you start getting into the middle of the fourth round and beyond, to me, those players are all kind of, you know, they're going to be, can they be good players? Yeah, you're going to find one here and there. But for me, it's third round
and up.
Those are your picks, man.
And that pick in the fourth round is not about position at that point. It's about your scouts picking out the right guy.
It's about depth.
Correct.
It's about depth.
And this is the last point I'll make before we'll get to your calls. And we'll do your calls the rest of the show then. So make sure we get full lines right now, but make sure you keep trying as we move along during the show. One thing that's kind of annoyed me a little bit, and I understand why people like to try to make this dichotomy, but I don't think it works in this situation. Fans constantly, and even people in the media, are saying, well, the Giants trying to win now, or are they trying to build for the future? Like, you have to choose. Why do you have to choose? That's what I don't understand. And pardon me, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here for a second.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, John Schmelk.
Thank you. When you're building a football team, I don't care what point in the stage of development your football team is in. No responsible general manager will say, to hell with the next 3 to 4 years, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket to win this year. Do you know why your one lineman falling on one of your players' legs the wrong way, which turns into an ACL injury, that short circuits your year? That's how random the NFL can be from year to year. You never put all your eggs in one basket and say, I'm trying to win now, to hell with 4 years from now. That's not how it works. And just because the Giants traded JPP away for a draft pick doesn't mean they're not interested in winning for this year. And by the way, just because they traded for Alec Ogletree doesn't mean that they're going all in and winning no matter what this year. These are all moves that maintains the balance between trying to win in 2018, but also maintaining a responsible situation with draft picks and your salary cap to be competitive and a good team moving forward. It's the same way, and I had this little rant on, I think it was either Fact or Fiction or Cover 3 last week. These free agent moves do not impact what the Giants are going to do with the draft at 2, okay? Bradley Chubb is in the mix now. He was in the mix before the Jason Pierre-Paul trade. Do you know why? Next year, if this trade doesn't happen, the Giants would have been under heavy consideration, maybe because of the salary cap. We might just let Jason Pierre-Paul go.
Yeah.
You have to prepare for the future. So don't let these short-term free agent moves, let them change your mind about what the Giants might do with the second pick in the draft. That's why some people, the Giants just traded for Alec Ogletree and they signed Nate Solder. They're never going to draft a quarterback. They're trying to win now. No! You can do both at the same time! You can try to win with Eli the next 2 years and still draft your quarterback in the future. You can still worry about the future and not draft a quarterback. One does not preclude the other. You can do both at the same time. I can do something on my left hand, and I can do something with my right hand. It's not that complicated. It's not one or the other. It can be both. It's a balance. I'm done.
Very good.
Do you agree?
I agree with – listen, I think it's all about perception, what people think and how they're going about doing things. But I think there has to be a plan in place, and that plan – particularly does not have to include we're going to win now or we're going to build. You don't come out and say it. You do it. You just go through and you manage your way through it. And literally, do you think that Dave Gettleman 3 months ago, and I don't know the answer to this, said, by the way, in the middle of March, we're going to start thinking about trading JPP. I don't know that maybe that was something that, but you know, under the circumstances, things happen.
Right.
And you know, maybe a team all of a sudden comes out of the blue. We know that Tampa Bay has been looking for a defensive end for quite some time now. So maybe the call was, maybe now it was just like, hey, you know what? What do you think?
The NFL, Jeff, isn't like the NBA.
No.
Where you go and you tank for 2 or 3 years. You try to get a top three pick.
Can't.
And then all of a sudden you're great because you get a superstar.
You can't.
There are 11 guys on the field versus 5 guys on the court. One superstar in the NBA can turn you from a 25-win team to a 50-win team. One great player in the NFL, unless it's a quarterback, what does it move the needle? A couple games, maybe?
Exactly. You go from 3 to 5? 3 to 5 wins?
And again, with injuries in the NFL, it's such a thin line between winning and losing. Again, the quarterback's the one exception to the rule. That has the same impact that a superstar in the NBA would. But the two sports function very differently. You can build for the future and still try to win. Now, look at the Jets almost tried to lose on purpose this year, okay? They still won 5 games, and they had to trade up to get their quarterback. They literally didn't add people last year so they would stink, so they would get their choice of quarterbacks. They won too many games when they tried to lose.
That's because they signed a quarterback that played well.
That's why the NFL is different, though. Yeah. And that's why you can't just say, oh, I'm going to stink for 2 years. You know, I'm going to be the 76ers. I'm going to draft some good players, and everything's going to work out.
It doesn't work
that way.
So Cleveland is maybe, I don't even know if there's an example of that. I mean, these guys, they stunk for how long?
And Sashi Brown literally traded away current players and moved down in the draft to acquire a lot of assets for future years. And how have those draft picks worked out for them?
They haven't worked out at all, but I will tell you this, that he, you know, this was the year he wanted to be around so he could take, but still.
And here's the thing, and I agree with you, Jeff. I think much like the Sixers general manager, you know, they fired him, then all of a sudden all these guys get healthy and they start winning the games, and I think they're going to be the third or the fourth seed this year. This was the year all those Brown moves were going to pay off.
No question.
And Sashi Brown's sitting there. John Dorsey's getting to trade all these assets that I acquired for players, and I'm sitting here out of a job. So I think he did get the short end of the stick a little bit.
I definitely did. And it would have been nice to see what he could have done with that, but, you know, that's here and he's gone, so it doesn't matter. I think that, back on your rant a little bit, I think that when you look at this team and what they've done over the last year, being 3-13, where did they get handcuffed? Depth. Depth, depth, depth. So when you were going to go, and let's say that, you know, we call it building a new team, because this is kind of building a new team, 3-13, you have to look at depth, and you have to look at the draft, which we're not going to have time to talk about this, but I will tell you that, and I think the Giants are going down this road to build, okay? With the mentality that we're building for the future, we're building a team that we can win, whether it's now or in next year, but we have to build this team, because last year, you look at the depth on this roster, and it's only indicative of what you look at how the draft has gone since 2008 to 2013. You did see that
statistic.
Because it was so mind-boggling.
You're looking for a statistic.
Yes. From 8 to 13, how many players are on this team than in the draft? Did you see that?
Well, I saw the number from 2010 to 2014. It was one.
Oh, it was 10 to 14. That's what it was.
It was one player, Odell Beckham Jr.
So my point is that we talk about building. We're talking about building some depth and getting some picks in the draft and things like that.
There are a lot of holes to fill, Jeff.
Tons of holes
to
fill.
This isn't a situation.
This bucket's got bullet holes in them all over the place.
And I feel like a lot of fans have this feeling that, oh, if you sign the right guy in free agency and you draft the right guy in the draft, all of a sudden you're 13-3 and you're competing for a Super Bowl. Is it possible? Yeah, anything could happen in the NFL. But you're right. You're trying to build a lot of pieces together at the same time in the most responsible way to sustain that.
And you want to keep winning.
And I said this the other day on the show, and when I kind of had my – it was kind of like the birth of this little rant and idea that I kind of had as I was doing the show. Let's say, for example – the Giants did what some fans want them to do and just say, I'm worrying about these 2 years for Eli, and that's it. I'm all in. I'm going all in.
Quentin Nelson, you got to build
the Saquon
line,
Barkley, whatever. I'm screwing my cap in 2020 to win the next 2 years. Exactly, right? Do you think when we're sitting here doing this show on February 23rd of 2020 and the Giants are coming off a 4-12 season, fans will call up and say, well, it's okay that we were 4-12 this year because we really tried hard to win in 2018 and 2019. Yeah. Do you think we're going to get those calls?
No. We spent all the money. We have nothing left. It's okay. It's all right. We're 4. That's okay. You can't do that. You cannot. Well, first of all, that's how people lose their jobs. Okay? And I just want to agree with you in the sense that this team needs to be built for – And I hate to use the we're building a team for the long run.
Sustainability, long-term success.
I want to be able to, when we start building a team, that in 2018 and 2019 and 2020, we can continue to compete in the NFC East against the teams that are doing the same thing that we're talking about right now.
And the most important thing that Dave Gettleman is going to do is figure out what happens the day after Eli Manning retires. That's still the most important thing that this team in the next half a decade is going to have to figure out.
Yes, and I think that in another couple months, not even a couple months, however when the draft is, we'll know sooner or later. But I don't think that that's kind of their priority at this point, in my opinion. And I think that it will be next year and the following year, but I don't think it's this year, John.
Well, I don't think it has to happen this year. But it has to be something that they keep in their head moving forward, which is why I've got a lot of fans have been proposing to me Buffalo Bills trades to move up to the second pick.
Okay.
And I've kind of thought about it, and I forget who it was that put this in my head. I think it was somebody on Twitter, a reporter. If I remember, I want to give credit to the person that gave me the idea. But if you're making that trade with the Bills to go down to 12, I need them to give me next year's first-round pick. Do you know why? If you don't go quarterback this year, I want to have two ones next year to have the flexibility to go get a quarterback if I still think I need one. Maybe by next year we'll know more about Davis Webb where you don't have to. But I want to have that extra one in next year's draft.
The Bills have 12. I know they used to have 21 and 22.
They have 12 and 22 now.
Okay, so that's a 22.
So
you're getting that 22 also and a one next year?
I need those three picks if I'm trading down to 12.
There's no question. There's no question.
I need those three. Yeah. Now, what else they give me, we can have a negotiation, and I'm relatively flexible. But I require your first-round pick next season, so I have the flexibility if I determine I still need a quarterback. If the Giants don't pick one this year, and we'll see what they do, who knows? I want that flexibility of those two ones next year to move up and do what I need to do. Or
if you're successful on the field. If you're 10-6, you're going to be outside the top 15.
Correct. So you need to move. And I think the Bills will be inside the top 15 next year based on the moves they've made. And then, you know what? If there's not a quarterback next year, then maybe you trade down next year and you get a first-round pick the following year. You have to continue to put yourself in a situation where you have the assets necessary to make sure your future is secure. So
or ammo, as they call it. You need to have some ammo, and you have to have some arrows in the quiver.
That is what I'm trying to do.
I'm with you.
It's that simple.
First of all, I think they're trading the pick, and I think that they're – because they need to build depth on this team. And how do you want to do it? You build it through the draft.
Now, I would still – would. I made this point the other day. If I trade back, I'm trading with the Broncos. Even if they give me maybe a little bit less,
five.
I'm getting one of those top three position players, okay. Chubb, Barkley, Nelson. Okay. I guaranteed to get one of those three, okay? And even if I only get two or three extra picks, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
You still stayed in the top 10.
I'm getting my premium player, which I earned off of a 3-13 season. Yeah. Boy, did they earn it. And I'm getting a couple extra picks on top of that to build the type of depth and add some more starters and, you know, top-notch rotational, situational, sub-package players you're talking about. That, to me, is the ideal
scenario. And we've
sat
here for months now talking about this.
Yes.
And you and I are on the same page in the sense that we are not trading outside the top 10.
Pick the quarterback. If you don't pick the quarterback, you move down to five with the Broncos, and you go from there.
Yeah, and if I do move out of the top 10, it's got to be a lot. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be one next year, two this year, and a couple more. You got to get five. I think you had said about a couple weeks ago we were talking about you got to get five picks from this.
Four
move.
Or five.
If you move out of top 10.
I think if you're getting three ones, I think you can settle for four. Three ones is a lot.
Yeah. Well, three ones is a lot, but you're. It's really only two. Right?
Well, you're swapping, and then you're getting two in addition. Still. Like, if the Bills came to you, Jeff, and said, we'll give you our better second-round pick this year, our two ones, and our one next year, don't you say yes?
Yeah. The second round has got to be in there, though. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Yes, and I will. Okay.
And that way, the Bills, by the way, they still have a number two, a still have one more second-round pick this year, and they have two-thirds this year. So they still have
and
a decent amount of draft capital,
they
and they
wanted.
Got their guy. So I think that's a fair move for both teams. And, you know, maybe you can squeeze a four out of them or their worst third-round pick. And you know, the other option I heard, too, was interesting up in Buffalo. So a person on Twitter told me is that maybe they would try to move up to four with Cleveland. And then once they get to four, Cleveland, then they try to go up to two with the Giants. So maybe they trade their 2 1s this year and a two to move up to four. And then to go to 4-2, all they have to trade the Giants is like next year's number one and a three or something
because
like that. You know what I mean?
Up, yeah, they're not going to give up as much.
Because you're only moving up two spots. But how much
they're still giving it the same amount of when you think about.
Right. How much do they have left after they go from 12 to 4? So I agree. I think in the end you're probably giving up more than you would if you just did the direct move yourself.
And let me ask you this. When do you make this trade?
If you're the Giants?
No. Like if are we talking about this today or are we talking about this on game day?
I think on draft day. I think if you're the Giants, you have an offer from the Broncos on the table. You have an offer from the Bills on the table. Whoever else wants to move up with you, you wait until draft day gets here. Unless you know who the Browns are going to pick. If you know who the Browns are going to pick.
We know who they're going to pick.
No, I think we do.
I think
once you know who the Browns are going to pick, you know, what if Josh Allen looks like, you know, Superman or, you know, Clark Kent when he does his pro day? Who knows, okay? If you know, once you know who the Browns are going to pick, that's when you can make the trade, but not before.
Yeah, because you want to make sure that, because Barkley.
I want Sam
Darnold. Might be your guy. And if I knew Cleveland's taking him,
yeah,
then I can have this discussion.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I would be very open to the discussion if you don't get Darnold, because I still have legitimate questions about Rosen and Mayfield in different ways, which we've talked about ad nauseum. The other thing I want to bring up, Jeff, real quick before we get to the calls. Someone on Twitter sent me some video from ESPN's NFL Live show yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Adam Schefter said he spoke to an opposing GM that said the Giants were, quote-unquote, in total rebuild mode, trying to rework their roster and get new players in. Now, it doesn't surprise me that maybe they're shopping some guys because Dave Gettleman wants to redo that locker room. The question is, what type of return is he looking for and what type of players is he actually looking to move if the report is true? I just thought it was interesting to see Adam Schefter paraphrase an opposing GM using the word rebuild, which I thought was interesting.
Was this after or before the JPP?
After.
Well, I think if we start to go down the roster, we can. Who do we look at that he's still trying to move? Which players, right? I mean, let's.
I don't know who he's trying to move, and I'm not going to tell you because I don't know I would have a job.
But tomorrow. My point is that when you look at this roster, how many good players are there still around to move from a 3-13 team?
I just thought it was interesting that Schefter, that an opposing GM would phrase it using the word rebuild.
Now you all can use your mind when you want to start to figure out who. I won't say it, but I think that, you know, there would definitely be some people to talk about that type of situation.
And look, we know the guys that had some locker room issues last year. I'm sure they would be in the situation there. And there might be some guys that are in the JPP category that maybe have bigger contracts that they might want to clear for later.
And there might be some other players that are under contract that might have to move too.
201-939-4513. I thought that was just an interesting thing for Schefter to report from an opposing GM.
From the word that we've been using today, rebuild. You hate to use the word rebuild.
Which is why I thought it was interesting.
But it does. It's inevitable. It has to be called something because it needs to happen.
How about a retool?
How about just getting better?
I like
the team's
that.
Getting better.
Let's go to Randy in Farmingville. He will lead us off today.
Randy.
Hi, Randy. How are you, buddy?
Farmingville. Where's Farmingville? Are we Jersey?
Both of you guys need to take a little bit of a deep breath over there.
Oh, we're just having fun, Randy. We love it.
No, I love it. I love the excitement. I have two quick things that
sure.
I just want to get your opinions on. Number one. Everybody seems to be forgetting about Davis Webb here. Now,
I can guarantee you one person's not, Paul Dottino.
Now, my question is this. Two things. Number one, I saw videos on the kid working out, I guess on Twitter, Tony Rasiopi or whatever the guy's name is.
Yep. And Randy, much like Pro Days, a quarterback throwing to receivers, nobody's covering, and shorts and a T-shirt really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right. So my question is this. Knowing that the kid right now has already sat down and he's already been a year, you know, with the Giants and learning with Eli, I know he's like, you know, with Eli everywhere he goes, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's the first one in the gym, the last one to leave.
Yep.
I already know all his intelligence.
Yep.
My question is two things. And then one other thing I want to add, and then, you know, you guys can go on is
sure.
How high do you think the ceiling is for Davis Webb? And the second part of that is, where is Davis Webb with a year under an NFL, you know, coaches and training with the Giants ahead of these guys right now, like Rosen, let's say Darnold, even if he doesn't go one, where is he talent-wise and skill-wise set compared to these other guys? And what are they going to do if they go out there and draft another quarterback? They just, you know, Davis Webb just never gets an opportunity. Is it a quarterback competition between the two? I just want to know where Davis Webb stands against these other guys, knowing that we did draft him, you know, relatively early, and no one seems to be giving him a shot. And
Randy,
then I have one more thing after your opinion.
Yeah, no problem. I think you asked really the most important question you can ask, and I think that was your second one, and I think that's the hardest question to answer. In terms of his ceiling, if Davis Webb turns out to be a guy that has great pocket presence and can handle pressure and read the defense really well, he could be a top 10 quarterback in the league. He has all the physical tools.
He could be a Carson Wentz if you want.
I'm not sure if he's quite as mobile as Carson Wentz, but he has that type of high-level physical traits where he can be an excellent quarterback.
What I meant by that was more that he's a young guy that can make some plays. And, sure. You know, he may not be Carson Wentz, but he could be, you know, that type of young guy that could come out here and do some things.
Now, Randy, here's the problem. All those things
we don't know
are things that you don't know until you get him on the field with a first-team offense against a first-team defense. And, yes, it's valuable for him to be here learning from Eli Manning, learning the NFL way of life. And, yes, he's a hard worker. He's been in this building more than any other player. Heck, maybe other players combined in the first 2 months of this offseason. The kid is a great kid. I love Davis. I hope he succeeds. But all that stuff, in the end, is intangible. It's not what he does when he gets on the field and you have a bunch of 280-pound freak athletes trying to murder him on every play in the pocket. That tends to change the equation. So how does he compare to these other guys? You know, it's hard to know how much better Davis Webb is now than where he was last year until we actually seeing him on the field and do it. I haven't seen Davis Webb take a snap since last August. How the hell am I supposed to know how much better he's gotten? I have no idea. Plus, Randy, throw on top of it, and then I want to get Jeff's take, and then you can finish.
Does it
hurt him learning one offense last year, and now he has to learn a new offense in his second year? So does that take away some of the stuff that he learned in his first year because he has to learn an offense all over again? I don't know the answer to that question either. So it's really hard for me to answer the second part of that question. And frankly, I think, Jeff, it's hard for Shermer and Gettleman to answer it either because they weren't here to see him do anything either.
Well, okay, and here's the thing with it. They're not going to know either. They're not going to know. As long as the number 10 is under center, they're not going to know what these other guys are like. And they're going to have to wait until number 10 is gone, and then there'll be a true competition and against the number ones, okay, because they're not going to do it. So I think the intangibles for when you talk about Davis Webb is that, yeah, he's been in the building. He understands how pro offenses work. I think he's a smart kid. He went to Cal Berkeley. He'll understand a new system. That's fine and all dandy. But, you know, if the Giants did draft another quarterback, there's your three QBs right there. Davis Webb is not going anywhere.
And there would be a competition.
There would be a competition.
And if you
there.
Wind up with two good young quarterbacks, guess
okay.
what? You could get a lot for one of those guys in a trade if you want to do that.
Or you say, you know what? We need two quarterbacks in this league nowadays. Look at the Eagles, okay?
Well, that would only last a couple years until that second good quarterback becomes a free agent, and then he gets the hell out of here.
Yeah, but I think the answer to your question is that we're never going to know about Davis Webb. I think if you want to say how do you compare him to the guys that are coming out, obviously comparing these guys are all legitimate top five picks in the National Football League. Davis Webb was not. He was a third rounder for a reason. So I think there's a comparison you have to make, and there is a little bit of difference.
Right, right. And the other thing I just went, and that's, and again, what I was, because, you know, I'm on the Saquon Barkley bandwagon. I mean, I think I'm literally having dreams about the kid being on the Giants at this point. It's like terrible. But at the end of the day, I was just kind of thinking in my head, you know, two to this kid, grab Saquon, and then, you know, just watching that offense is, you know, and then add pieces in the second round, the third round with the with the tackles and the guards or whatever the case is. I mean, that's the reason why I wanted to kind of get your take on that.
No, absolutely. And Randy, do me a favor. Go on my Twitter feed when you get a chance. I retweeted a Pro Football Focus article yesterday morning, and I did it again this morning from Sam Monson, who's on the show a lot. He does a great job. And he really broke down what Barkley's good at, where he needs work, and what he'll bring as an NFL player. And I think that'll probably clarify for you a little bit exactly what you're getting in him. Because I think you're getting more of a bigger, souped-up version of Alvin Kamara than you are getting in Ezekiel Elliott. You know
fine.
What I mean?
Right. Fine. I'd take Kamara.
Oh, no. And look, that's fine. Yeah. But they are very different players.
Sure.
Right. Well, then if they're going to do that, then I'd love Rashad Penny late. I mean, at that point, I'd like to – you know, see what we got. But I don't want to hog too much time to the other callers.
Thank you, Randy.
I just wanted to add one more thing. What do you, obviously Eli Apple, obviously we know the cancer and the locker room now. Do you think that Gettleman's holding on to him just because they're giving this guy, you know, everybody's, like they said, everyone's getting a clean slate, or are they just simply not getting rid of this guy because it's cost effective right now?
Well, Randy, thanks for the call. Good question.
It's a good point. It is cost effective, and I think that he is a number one draft pick. So, you know, unless you can get something pretty valuable for him, then you do it. But why not? We just hang on.
He doesn't have a prohibitive contract.
Yeah.
You don't just give up on a guy with talent. And Dave Gettleman said that when he got here.
And you hope you can get this guy to get his head straight and grow up a little bit.
And you know what? If he shows up and you see her having the same problems he had last year, and by the way, you'll know in training camp or even in the spring if he's a problem again. You talk to the leaders on your team and you see how the kid's doing.
Yeah.
If you see he's a problem, then you move on. You'll figure it out. But you're right. There's no rush to do it now. You can wait if they are, in fact, asking other teams about him, and I have no idea if they are. If you're not getting the right offer for him, you don't just move him for the sake of moving him. That doesn't make any sense.
I just saw this on Twitter. I don't know if it's what everybody
wants. Yeah, Ross Cockrell. Bye-bye.
So
2-year contract.
So by the way, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago about the depth of that defensive backfield. Now, I mean, I really liked him. I thought he was a good addition to the team, but evidently Carolina's going to pay him a lot more than the Giants are going to pay him.
Yeah,
he moved on.
His agency tweeted out, congratulations to Ross Cockrell. So I guess it's pretty official if his agency is tweeting it out.
Okay, yeah.
I think they said it was like 2 years, $8 million or something like that.
Okay.
So good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? He played well last year.
He did, to earn
and
that contract.
Played his way into that contract.
Yeah.
And you can never be mad at a guy for earning his way in.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the head.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine, who's gathering lobsters, figuring out a time to send them to Mr. Feagles.
I am starving.
Is that a train whistle?
Hey, look,
what was that?
Let me tell you what's going on.
Car.
Gettleman's got to have a phobia about any players who have names that start with three letters. He got rid of DRC.
Oh, initials.
He got rid of JPP. And now, you know who's next on the list? OBJ. So, Giant Nation, don't be shocked if Odell is going to be gone.
Charlie, hold on a second. Charlie, what about ELI? That's three letters, too. Uh-oh.
What's ELI?
Eli, you dope.
Hey,
and I'm kidding, obviously.
If we're really rebuilding, which it sounds like it, because that article you were talking about, they were talking also about possibly trading or moving OV. There's another one, OV. So he's on the list. So, what I have a problem with is...
Initials?
If you're going to get rid of players, and you're going to get rid of good players, and you're creating more holes than we had before. We got rid of DRC, we have no cornerbacks right now, just two, and we don't know what Apple's going to do. Cockrell just signed with the Panthers, so he's not coming back. So we got a big hole there, now we get rid of JPP. We got a huge hole there, and if they actually...
No, you don't. You don't have a huge hole there. We talked about it at the start of the show. You have Kareem Martin. He's going to replace JPP.
Oh, he's just better than JPP?
I didn't say he's better than JPP. No, I said he's going to play his position.
That's what I'm talking about. You're bringing in cow chips, and you're letting blue chips go. How is that winning for today?
Do you want
how
money
is
to,
that winning this year?
Do you want money to sign Landon Collins and Odell Beckham Jr. next year?
We're not going to sign we're not going to sign Odell. There's
do you
no
want
way
Landon Collins?
Or Myra is going to give him $20 million, and you all know that.
Do you want
he's
Landon? Oh, by
gone.
The way, but you can franchise him next year, and guess how much his franchise tag's worth next year? About the exact same amount of money that they saved by trading Jason Pierre-Paul.
Exactly, and the thing is, Odell is not going to be happy. He said he wanted a contract this year. So you tell me what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen.
I don't have a crystal ball, Charlie. I don't know what's going to happen.
Charlie, they're going to trade him.
Charlie, here's what I know. I know for a fact the Giants control his rights for 2 more years if they want to. That's what I know for a fact.
If they want to. I don't think they want to. And the thing is, what they're doing is a total disservice to Eli. They should have never brought him back. They should have let him go. Let him go to Jacksonville or wherever so he can win a chip.
Charlie.
What they're doing right now is totally disrespectful to him, and it's totally disrespectful to me as a Giants fan.
Charlie,
you don't get rid of blue chips and bring in Kyle.
Charlie,
of
all, do you really think Dominique Rodgers, Camardi, and JPP were blue chip players last year the way they played?
Oh, yes. They're
the way they played.
Players. Yes, yes, they were.
So how come the Giants defense stunk last year?
It wasn't because of them.
So who was it because of then? OV? Snacks?
It was other
Janoris
people.
Jenkins?
Yeah. It was no linebackers. That was one of the reasons.
Charlie, they didn't sniff a good pass rush the whole year.
We had 100 injuries, too. We had a lot of injuries.
Charlie, I want to ask a question. How come the Giants' pass rush was terrible last year?
Well, because part of it was because we had a lot of injuries, and we also played OV and JPP 99% of the snaps instead of having a rotation and allowing these guys to rest.
Last I checked, JPP was healthy.
JPP was the third top tackling defensive end in the NFL last year.
I did not ask you about JPP's ability to stop the run. I asked you about JPP's ability to rush the passer. Those are two different questions.
And there's another question. Okay. JPP was also like the third best in quarterback hurries.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, you can look it up. Look it up.
I will check that. I really don't think that's true.
That is true, because I saw the stat on it. So, look, all I'm saying is this is a rebuild. If they get rid of somebody else and trade OV or, you know, down, we're just creating holes. We're not filling them. Now we expect to go in the draft and have rookies take places of veteran good players, and we're going to be a winning team this year?
Hey, Charlie, I have a question. If Dominique Rodgers-Camardi was so good, how come he hasn't signed yet?
Because he's waiting. He went to Washington. He says he wants to wait until April. It's his choice to wait, and that's what he's doing. That's what he said he wanted to do.
Okay.
Believe me, he'll get picked up. Believe me, he'll get picked up.
Yeah, but
we
but,
have
yeah,
no
but,
quarterbacks
but,
right
yeah, but
now.
Charlie,
we
for
nobody.
What value? And here's the thing. If you wanted to keep Dominique Rodgers-Camardi, that's fine. Then you don't have Kareem Martin. Okay? So you're literally it's not like you can have everybody. You have to pick and choose. You know what I mean? You have to have money under the cap to sign your draft picks too. It's not like you can keep all these guys and then you have everybody else as well.
They don't even have the money to do that.
It's a give and take. You know what I mean? You can't have everyone. You have to decide which guys you're prioritizing over other guys. And they prioritize guys that are in their 20s.
They're prioritizing cow chips over blue chips.
No, they're prioritizing guys that are in the prime of their career in their mid-20s over guys that are over 30.
You tell me Williams was a really great player for the Arizona Cardinals. Look at his stats.
Wait, Williams?
Who's Williams?
Who's Williams?
You mean Martin?
Well, Martin. I mean, Martin, sorry.
Martin is I would say he's a solid starter.
Ogletree.
Yeah, how is JP? Solid starter or better than that?
I would say JPP is a slightly better player than Kareem Martin. But is he that much better to have a $15 million cap hit versus a $4 million cap hit?
Yeah, but you don't, Peter always talks about football 101. You don't leave a $15 million dead money cap. You could have waited to see how JPP played this year, and then if he played really well in the system, then you can decide to do something, either let him go, trade him, or redo his contract so it can fit. You don't do it this year.
Charlie,
you wait a year.
You can't just redo somebody's contract. He has to agree to it, and if you cut him next year,
right.
Then you have a $10 million cap hit. What's the difference?
Then you trade him.
But he has to agree to it. He doesn't – okay, so – if he doesn't want to agree to it, Charlie, he doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, that's what they did with DRC. And what happened? They let him go. because he didn't agree to it.
Okay, but
so
they
I'm
also...
just saying you should have waited a year to see how JPP performed in this new defense before letting him go.
Well, I
no, but Charlie, you understand too, and Jeff, I'm sorry.
Right. They got a pick out of it.
And here's the thing, Charlie. Remember, if you do wait, and then you decide to let him go next year, you're taking a $10 million cap hit, and then you have $10 million of dead money on your salary cap next year when you have to worry about signing Landon Collins.
Or unless he played better, right? Is that what you're going to say? Then he'd be worth more?
Then he might be worth the keep. But what I'm saying is, this is a disaster happening, and if anyone thinks in Giant Nation that Odell's going to be a New York Giant for more than this year, maybe not even this year, you're crazy, because they're never going to pay him $18 to $20 million. It ain't going to happen, and you all should know that. He's moving on because somebody will pay him that.
All right,
somebody will pay him that.
On a lighter note, Charlie and Jeff, you guys can now discuss your lobsters. Go ahead.
Yeah, when are you coming, Jeff? When's the next time you're coming to be on BBK? And I'll make sure that we're
all right. Well, let's
that.
Okay. So let's do this. All right, I'm going to be out of town all next week. So, and then so the how about this? How about John hasn't made the schedule up for April yet, but
I will do that either today or on Monday.
Okay, so and typically I'm in on Fridays. All right, unless something happens. So we could do it on April 6th or the 13th.
I think it's perfect. Friday the 13th. Charlie will send his lobsters to Jeff on Friday, April 13th.
Friday the 13th. They may not be. They might be. I know they're going to be dead, but I mean, they may not be good lobsters on Friday the 13th. They might be rubber. No, we can do Friday the 13th. That would be fun. All right.
We'll definitely have it done, and there'll be no more Northeasters. God, three in a row.
I want you to listen, Charlie. I always want to give you the opportunity to win back a bet. Okay, so I want you to come up with some great bet again this year that you and I can have, so that maybe I can pay you back.
Charlie feels so strongly about Jason Pierre-Paul. Maybe a JPP sack total for this year with the Cardinals. How about that?
Over under between Martin and him.
No, how about when JPP comes back, he has two or three sacks against us?
Well, that's the sixth game of the season.
Charlie, think about it, okay?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Charlie.
I apologize. I dominated that conversation with Charlie. Jeff, what do you think about what he had to say?
I understand the premise of his conversation.
And so do I.
And it's but you really, you know what? You have to understand, and it goes back to what we talked about. You talk about blue chips and cow chips, whatever you want to do. This team is handcuffed a couple ways. Number one, they have no depth, and number two, they didn't have a lot of money to begin with. And so if you want to start, what do teams do? They start unloading the guys with all the money. It happens. When you sign big contracts, you know you're never going to see the third or the fourth year of those contracts unless you're just you dominate the world, and then they may not even give you that money. They're going to restructure it. They got to find money somehow. It's just a way that the NFL works every year. So you got to get a – DRC was a lot of money. JPP, they didn't get a lot of money cap hit, relief from it, but they got a third-round draft pick from him, okay? And they're not going to have to pay him again. And they also went out and got a younger player. So I just think that, you know, this is all about philosophy, individuals, what you think and how people work and what they do with the organization. It's never a perfect science for all this stuff, but I think there is some arguments with it here and there. But I'm on board with what the Giants are doing. I'm on board with them saving money and taking money. You know, Brad Wing was another reason for money. Okay, it was about his how he kicked last year and saving $1 million. They went out and got $1 million for him. So was Charlie right about the third? He said it was the third best pass
hits
rusher
and hurries. Right, that's what he was looking at.
QB hurries.
He had 5 quarterback hits last year, and that's not including sacks. So 5 quarterback hits and 40 quarterback hurries. No, I see at least 6 guys that had more hurries than him. There's 7, there's 8, there's 9, there's 10. And in terms of quarterback hits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like almost 20 that had more quarterback hits.
Come on.
So maybe it was over a certain number of years Charlie saw that number. Maybe it was over 5 years. I don't know. But according to Pro Football Focus, just off of last year,
he said last year
that was not the case. He actually had 40 quarterback hurries, which is a pretty good number, but 5 quarterback hits, which
that's not sacks. They're not sacks. They're hits.
Well, yeah, that's hitting the quarterback after he gets rid of the ball. So that is a more telling stat of how close you are to the quarterback when he gets rid of it.
All right, so he had 8.5 plus. Let's just give him the 5. So 13.5.
So he had 45. Let me put it this way. He had 45 combined hurries and hits, according to Pro Football Focus, okay? Just some other guys. Cameron Jordan, 61. Calais Campbell, 66. DeMarcus Lawrence, 64. Melvin Ingram, 65. Joey Bosa, 62. Everson Griffin, 49. Robert Ayers, even, a lot fewer snaps at 43. So, you know, William Hayes, I'm sorry, Yannick Ngakoue, 57. 64 for Carlos Dunlap, 51 for Cameron Wake. So these guys all had more than him. Okay,
is that just D linemen?
That's four. That's, by the way, that's 4-3 defensive ends. That's not even counting 3-4 outside linebackers.
Okay, that's gonna say go to Kareem Martin and see what he had last year on a 3-4 outside linebacker.
And by the way, and that doesn't count Von Miller, who had 73, Cleo Mack, who had 68. Jadeveon Clowney, who had 56. Chandler Jones, who had 59. Not to mention the fact they all had more sacks than JPP on top of that as well. You want to know Kareem Martin? Kareem Martin last year, he played 457 snaps, while JPP played 1,010. So more than twice the number of snaps. And it looks like Kareem Martin had 19. So he had about a little less than half, but he also played a little less than half the snaps. So
he also played a little bit of a different position. When
yeah,
you think
he,
about
he would go into deep tackle sometimes yeah, yeah, too and things yeah, like that.
Okay.
So based on the number of snaps and the rate of those pressures and hits, it's not as different as you might think.
Okay. That's I can see that. But I think it goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning
look,
of the show. This is all about business.
And we're not arguing that Kareem Martin's a better player than Jason Pierre-Paul. That's not the argument we're making.
Mm-mm.
The no. question is Kareem Martin at X dollars a better investment than JPP at X dollars? Because, folks, when you have to look at this stuff, it's assets. Each player has a value. And if you're not using those X number of dollars on this player, you can bring in another player.
No question.
So
in this point,
that's how
too,
it works.
You think about what the Giants got when you look at Ogletree and Martin for the price of 2-for-1, basically, from what JPP was going to make.
Right.
JPP conceivably made over $20 million last year with the signing bonus and his bonuses. I mean, he was on the hook for, I mean, just on what I saw on the internet was $1.5 million with like his salary and all his signing bonus money, but it was over $20 million last year. So the Giants are not going to do that again. They're
and
not.
Again, I just, my impression last year, Jeff, is that JPP did not impact the game as a pass rusher consistently from game to
consistently, game. That was the thing. I think that's the word. I mean, he played 1,000 snaps, you know, and he was out there, you know, a lot of plays, but and he didn't take a lot of plays off, meaning being out of the game.
Right.
But
he was still great against the run. He was still very good against the
I
run.
I always thought he was good against the run.
He
competed against that better and better every year, but not against the pass.
Looks like we lost Eric in North Dakota. Eric, give us a call back. I'll put you
sorry
right on,
that,
and I'll put you up first. We took a little extra time with our first two callers, but we got two more on the line. Let's get to you before we say goodbye. And, Eric, we'll put you right back up if you call back. Jeff in Rhode Island is up next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up,
good,
Jeff?
Good. That's good. As far as the draft goes, I'm agreeing with Paulie that the Giants should move back in the draft and try and collect some other draft picks, you know, being as we have so many holes.
I'm fine with that.
What I would like to see happen is I with the first pick that I have, if I'm the Giants, I want to sign that offensive guy, Nelson. I want him to be my first pick no matter what, okay?
Well,
I think that's the
Jeff,
most important thing, the priority for the Giants is to rebuild that offensive line with some good, real quality players.
If you want him, you can't go back further than 5.
Yeah, I know. I know that. I mean, you know, it's hard to have it both ways, but I got to have him.
No, I hear you.
Some
I get it.
People say, you know, you're crazy second-round pick for a guard. I mean, that never would have happened 20 or 30 years ago, but we don't know if he turns out to be the player that people say he could be. Then it's okay with me because obviously we don't know that right now. But the value seems to be there, so I mean I'm going for it, and I'm not going to move off that. So I mean, who's to say there's no quarterbacks to draft to be drafted next year anyway, too, you know? So I just that's where I'm going with that. And I just want to see him on board as my God. So what do you guys think about that?
Jeff, look, Quentin Nelson's a great player. I'm not sure I picked the guard at two. But at five, I think it'd be wonderful.
I think at five. And I also believe that what everybody's saying is if you like a guy and you have some conviction, go after and get him and just live with it.
And by the way, I would not – if the Giants pick Quentin Nelson at two, I would not be upset. And I, by the way, I would not be upset if they picked Barkley at two, Nelson at two, or Chubb at two.
And you're going to get the argument from everybody. There's going to be people that say, why did you pick Quentin Nelson when you could have got Saquon Barkley? You're going to have the argument. It'll never end.
Or it'll be, why did you pick Nelson at two when you could have traded down and still got
him at so five? There's no, like I said before, there's no perfect science to this. It's all about what you believe and what the team. But bottom line is you're going to have to accept what they do anyways. So.
I know, but I'm just saying my priority is rebuilding the offensive line with good quality players. That has to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, if they did that, you've got a guy, you know, Nate Solder on the left. You'd have Quentin Nelson on the left guard. Then you'd have Jonesy coming back at center. You got your right tackle. Hopefully that Flowers can transition into that.
You hope. There ain't no guarantee of that, though, Jeff.
You know, so I said hope.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Make the word a little bit longer.
And then you would say what, John Jerry at right guard right now, you'd say probably?
Well, I think that, you know, there's been some talk about getting Listen, I think that you'd be okay there. Was it gonna be an all pro, you know, the best offensive line in the league? No, but I mean there's gonna be some improvement there.
Jeff, I'll tell you what though. If you're looking at Quentin Nelson and Nate Solder at left tackle and left guard, that looks pretty sweet.
I would be running behind that.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's my point. So you guys have a good day.
You
okay?
too.
Thanks,
thank
Jeff.
You.
You too.
Yep, thanks, Jeff.
Final call of the show is Kenny in Pennsylvania.
What's
He's up
Kenny?
Next. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I kind of agree with Charlie on one thing. Odell Beckham, I don't see him here next year.
Okay.
And this is what I want to get to.
Sure. Go ahead.
Quantify for me with a question. What do you think Odell Beckham is worth in draft, not money, in the draft pick? Is he worth a first round? Is he worth two first rounders? What do you think?
You know, Kenny, that's a great question, and I've been asked this before, and I struggle to come up with an answer. I mean, if he was a clean player off the field and he didn't have some of that other stuff, I think you could try to get two ones for him.
I think that's the minimum you get for him.
How other teams view him is, I think, honestly, I think there's probably such a wide swath from GM to GM on how they view him and whether or not they'd, you know, how much they'd be willing to give up for him. Kenny, it's a great question. I honestly don't know what my answer would be. Jeff, what do you think?
I don't either, but I right off the top of my head, I've got to think to at least two number ones. I really do.
And I'm not sure I'd be willing to trade him for less than that because he's so good.
Follow me a little bit here.
Sure, go ahead.
We're in this unique position. We're at two. We're hardly ever here, okay? The top couple guys in this draft are obviously all game changers, right?
You know,
the top first five or six guys.
Kenny, you aren't getting the Browns 1-4 if that's where you're going.
One of them. One of 1-4. You know they do unorthodox things, especially in the first round. They're known for it. If we can get one of those and whatever, fill in the blank, their twos, you know, maybe somebody on their defense, we can plug our holes for DRC, linebackers. We got to get this other draft. I don't want to sit back and move back in the draft. We're going to lose big time that way.
Kenny,
you can get a quarterback, and you can get either Saquon or Quentin Nelson or something. You can answer a lot of questions and build.
So, Kenny,
if
I told you, if you were the Giants GM and the Browns came to you and said, we'll give you the fourth overall pick and the top overall pick in the third round of the draft, would you make that trade?
I would not. I would need your next first year, your first round next year, too, and I would think about it.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but, Jeff, you're guaranteed a top five pick, though. That is a very valuable pick. It's a very valuable pick. It's a very valuable pick.
Exactly. They got two of them, and, you know, hey, I love Odell Beckham. I love him. The guy's he's dynamic. He's going to change the game.
There's going
to
be some calls.
I'm a little old school. I'm only 37.
No, I hear you, Kenny.
Yeah,
I don't see him hitting the Giants. You know, you're acting up a little bit too much. You know, I tried to defend him. It's too much of a distraction. We play football. You know, you want to be a rapper, go be a rapper somewhere else.
Well, I don't know
Jarvis Landry's here on the Browns. You know, he's got a little foot in the door there. I'm saying take Beckham, dangle him out there to the Browns, try and get one of those two number ones.
There's going to be somebody. Somebody's going to offer something.
Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate the call.
It's a good time, and I wish we had more time to talk about it because I think it's a very good discussion. And that,
a fun one, which I don't think is realistic because I don't think
– No, it's a fun one.
I don't think the Giants are making calls
it's
on
a fun
right
one.
Now. I don't know. I don't know anything. But
no, no. I mean, I didn't mean making calls.
No, I know.
I fielding calls.
Oh, I'm sure teams are calling up. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't mean making them. Making them. All right, let's go.
You ready?
Yeah. You're all set.
It's time for everyone's favorite
game.
Cheat
today,
I like this. Did he play with Jeff
cheat
Eagles?
On I don't have a great memory.
Yeah, 22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Eagles with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so.
John Schmelk.
Woo!
It's thousands of players, by the way, not hundreds.
Is it thousands, you think? Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
Though you have repeats from year to year.
Yeah, but still numbers.
Yeah, it probably is thousands.
But it sounds fun.
Stop trying to make it more impressive than it is, Feagles. All right. Did
you ready,
play
huh? Here we go.
With Davern Williams? Davern Williams. D-A-V-E-R-N Williams. I love the Williams, Jeff. You know that. Did
yeah.
you play with Davern Williams?
The only thing I'm thinking of Davern was he didn't go by his first name. It had to be something else that... But the Williams, I mean, come on. With Williams?
Did you play with Davern
no,
Williams?
No, I didn't.
That is why you fail.
Davern Williams was a defensive tackle that played on your 2004 New York Football Giants. He actually started a game that year.
His name was Davern.
Davern.
Davern Williams.
Up. Davern Williams.
That's BS.
He played in three games. He had a half a sack.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That was a meaningful half
a
sack.
I remember the half a sack he got,
for
but
Davern
I remember he was on my team.
Those are the only
three games.
Those are the only three games he played his whole NFL career.
Are you serious? That's not fair.
Yeah, it is.
It really. Did you remember, Danny, do you remember Davern
Williams? Oh, he was too young then. He wasn't going to remember him anyway. He was drafted in the seventh round by the Dolphins in 2003. All right. Did you play with Damane Duckett? Damane Duckett. D-A-M-A-N-E Duckett.
No.
Did you play with
no.
Damane
no.
Duckett?
No. Arizona?
You played with Damane Duckett on your 2004 New York Football Giants, ladies and gentlemen.
This is ridiculous.
He played in four games and started one. He also had a sack that year.
Oh, great.
Oh, by the way, he also played eight games with you in 2005 on the Giants. So he was actually with you for an offseason in the facility. You should have gotten. He played 3 years in the league.
Wow.
Him you should have gotten. He was with you for an offseason.
Damane Duckett.
Out of East Carolina.
If you're watching, Damane, I apologize.
Native of Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh,
nothing
he's local. Maybe he is watching.
Finally, did you play with Jack Brewer?
Oh, come on. That one's too easy. Yes. Yes. I do know Brewer. He was with the Giants.
Yes. Yes. Also the 2004 New York Football Giants.
Yeah.
He played in 13 games that year
for
you guys.
He was a special teams good guy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He was defensive back.
Yeah.
Was he a gunner?
He was, yes, a gunner, and I believe he played a little bit of personal protector, too.
Oh, that's why you knew him, because he was protecting your sorry butt back there.
But he's a good dude. Jack Brewer is a good guy.
Shoot.
Yep.
Right. I thought I was going to get you 0-3 today.
Yeah. But the other two
that
were,
was pretty good, right?
Two were, so it was all Giants guys today.
From the same year.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I tricked you today.
That's stupid.
It's pretty good.
That's horrible.
Thank you, Jeff. Oh, by the way.
We got to get Dan involved in this. He's been around long enough to know
some guys. I promised I was going to give Jeff a hard time. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
The Big Blue Bracket Challenge last week in round one.
I made it to round one.
Jeff Feagles took on Super Bowl quarterback Kerry Collins and disposed of him like a
So where am I at the second round now? Who am I up against the second round? I didn't even look.
I have some bad news for you, Jeff.
Oh, great. Yeah, I shouldn't have even asked. I should just bask in my glory for now and not just shut up.
I wasn't even going to bring that up. I was just going to give you a hard time. Come on, you beat a quarterback that brought the Giants to a Super Bowl. That's like
a big deal.
That.
I'll take that. Who is the next guy?
I can tell you who you lost to. Hold on. I'm looking it up
right
now.
Oh, I lost. I lost.
Yeah, you already lost. Right, you're done.
I'm out.
I want to say it was...
Like Kentucky last night. Out.
Was it Kareem McKenzie that he lost to? Dan, it was Kareem,
right? Kareem?
Yeah.
So I beat Kerry Collins and lose to Kareem Kent McKenzie?
Kareem, yes. He was also your teammate, by the way.
I know that. wow. The Bear. All right. All right, that's kind of cool. He's a left tackle.
But you beat Kerry Collins.
That's good.
The punters live. You were more important than a quarterback.
Listen, I made it to the next round and then got destroyed by McKenzie, which a lot of people would get destroyed by Kareem McKenzie anyways. He's a big dude.
I couldn't get the percentage. I think it was like 55 to 45 he lost. Ooh,
oh,
63,
I got destroyed.
37. That's
oh,
rough.
Even twice. Yeah, that's bad.
You got hammered.
I got hammered. That's all right. Hey, good job, Kareem. I know he doesn't watch the show. There's no way.
Not
he
many people
this
do.
Show.
But yes. Well, that was good. You beat Kerry Collins, though, man. Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
And I'm
thank
sorry
you.
On your loss to Kareem.
That's all right. And I was also 1-for-3 on our Did He Play With Jeff Eagles game. So that's not bad.
And by the way, we're waiting for Lance to get back to me on what April days he can work. And once I get that, I will get you
all
your
right,
schedule.
That's good. Figure okay? that Lance takes his time to do things like that.
Yeah. Lance is too busy trying to find Michael Jordan stats on the internet to post about Nick draft picks. Anyway.
Well,
thanks
have
for joining
a good weekend,
us.
Everybody.
Everybody. Jeff, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Everybody, we'll see you on Monday at Giants.com. Have a good one.
You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on